Please open your Bible to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1, and this evening we're up to the first prayer of Nehemiah. And I've decided to take a somewhat simplistic approach to this prayer, and yet I hope it will be practical, helping our own prayer lives. So Nehemiah chapter 1, I wish to read from verse 4, and we'll read down to verse 11. So Nehemiah chapter 1, commence reading at verse 4. Hear the word of the Lord. And it came to pass when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If he transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if he turn unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto a place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants, and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power, and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants, and desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Amen. The title for the sermon this evening is Powerful Prayer. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you and praise you for this glorious day that you've given to us. Father, I thank you for the wonderful privilege that we have had to come and meet tonight and offer our prayers and petitions unto you. We thank you, Father, that you are a faithful God who will listen to our prayers and possesses the power to answer our prayers according to your will. Father, I thank you now for this opportunity that we have to come to your word and to consider the topic of prayer. Father, I do pray tonight that through your Spirit you would help each and every one of us become better at this facet within our lives. I ask this in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. Have you ever considered how amazing it is to be able to communicate with the one and true living God? You know, that we mere mortals can come before the immortal. That we finite beings can approach the infinite. That we who are weak and frail can come to the Almighty. That we who possess little control can come to the Sovereign who controls it all. That at any time, any place, any situation, we can speak to God. Now, that's an awesome reality, isn't it? And that is prayer. Now, this is one of the privileges that we have as believers. We can approach the throne of God. And yet, unfortunately, how often we take this supreme privilege for granted? Now, we fail to take advantage of it like we ought to, and we end up possessing inconsistent and ineffective prayer lives. You know, but it doesn't have to be like this. We can all possess powerful prayer lives that make a difference, and our text reveals much to help us in this endeavor. Nehemiah was a man who was used mightily by God. Few would question that. And one of the keys, if not the key, was the fact that he was a man of prayer. Throughout this small book, there are at least 9 of Nehemiah's personal prayers recorded. That is almost one per chapter. So it's very obvious that much time was spent in prayer. And what is also evident is the fact that his prayers were answered. They were effective. And it's this that we all want to possess. Praying that makes a difference. So let's turn our attention to this recorded prayer and consider some simple attributes that must be present in order to be men and women who pray effectively and powerfully. So firstly, let's consider the priority of prayer. And Nehemiah is faced with this great problem within his life. Though he has heard of the condition of the people and of the city. The people are afflicted. They are facing intense persecution all around. The walls of the city are in ruin. There's no protection whatsoever. Now, he's most probably made aware of the fact that the king that he works for has halted the rebuilding work. But things don't look good. It seems highly unlikely anything can be done. And when he's faced with this great trouble, when the trials, when the tribulations come his way, the first thing that he does is takes it to the Lord in prayer. The last phrase of verse 4, and prayed before the God of heaven. Now, this is a wonderful example. Now, it reveals the priority that prayer occupied in his life. But this was not just an accident that he responded in such a way when the difficulties arose. But this was obviously the standard practice within his life. He was in the regular and constant habit of communing with his God. And hence, when he's faced with this situation, he took his pain, his stress, and his suffering immediately to the Lord. He practiced 1 Peter 5, 7 centuries before it was written. We cast all of his cares upon the Lord. Now, he knew and understood that these problems were far too big for him to handle. So he took them to God, and that's where he left them. You know, he knew that this was the only remedy. That prayer was the way to relieve his stress, his anxiety, and his concern. And we would all do well to take a leaf out of Nehemiah's book when it comes to dealing with the struggles within our lives. You know, we need to pray. For it's there that relief and assistance can be found. You know, how often we are unnecessarily weighed down by the troubles of life, or we try to deal with it ourselves rather than taking it to God, and it often crushes us. What's like a ton of bricks in a wheelbarrow compared to being on a semi-trailer? One can handle it, one cannot. And yet how often this describes us. We could commit it to the Lord who could handle it like the semi-trailer, and yet we try to take care of things ourselves and it crushes us like the bricks in the wheelbarrow. Now, Nehemiah was a man who prioritized prayer. And hence when the troubles arose, this was his natural reaction. And what this reveals about the man was the fact that he was not self-sufficient. Now, when we fail to pray properly and consistently, it is a sign that we are self-sufficient. Now, we think that we have things under control, that we have everything figured out, that we can do things ourselves and do them our own way. And it is this attitude that explains as to why our prayer lives are often not what they could be and should be. Now, it is evident that Nehemiah was dependent on God. He knew he couldn't, but God could. And unfortunately, in our culture that has so much, the tendency to be self-sufficient and self-satisfied is rather common. And these attitudes are debilitating in our prayer lives. For as one author said, the self-sufficient do not pray, for they talk to themselves. And the self-satisfied do not pray, for they have no knowledge of their need. And hence we need to rid ourselves of these attitudes that our society encourages if prayer is to be a priority in our lives, which, my friend, it needs to be. For prayer is of utmost importance in the life of the believer. It's one of the means that our relationship with Christ grows. It helps us to overcome temptation. It helps us to know God's direction in our lives, or to handle the struggles and the tribulations that are thrown at us. It is tapping into the divine resources. It gives us power in the spiritual battle. It accomplishes God's work in this world. It's how our needs and those of others are met. It is an act of obedience and so on. The benefits are many. And hence we need to follow the lead of Nehemiah and be men and women of prayer. And realistically, this won't be a problem if we truly realize how weak and frail and utterly dependent on our God we really are, and hence striving to be self-sufficient. Well, I know I'm stating the obvious, but if we want to be effective and powerful in prayer, we need to be praying. You know, it must be a priority. We need to remember the exhortation of the Apostle Paul to the church at Thessalonica: pray without ceasing. And also remember, our Lord Jesus Christ spent much time in prayer. If he needed to do it, how much more do we need it? Now, we as humans die without oxygen, and we as Christians will die spiritually without prayer. And hence, we must make it a priority. Now, secondly, let's see the pattern of prayer. Having established the necessity of prayer, we must now come to how it is we are to pray. How can we pray in a powerful and effective way? And this is a very important question to ask. It was one that was asked by the disciples, and from that question we have the Lord's Prayer, the pattern for believers. But what is interesting is that Nehemiah's prayer had a striking resemblance to the Lord's. And in considering this, I want to show you the structure and the scriptural saturation. So firstly, let's see the structure. You know, it's here where the similarities to the Lord's Prayer are found. And there are at least three parts to this prayer, possibly more, but I want to consider three. They being praise, penitence, and petition. So in the Lord's Prayer, it begins with, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now this is beginning with an acknowledging of who one is praying to and expressing adoration towards them. And the prayer before us begins in the same fashion with praise. Look at verse 5. It says, "And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments." Now, it is vital that we know and understand what kind of God we pray to, who our God is. And it's very evident that Nehemiah knew his God. Now, he begins by declaring, "O Lord God of heaven." Oh, this is a declaration of his superiority, of his sovereignty and his strength, along with his ability to perform what will later be requested. And we must understand that the Persian culture had many gods. And Nehemiah is saying this is his God, the only God. He is superior. The second phrase says, "the great and terrible God." Now, this speaks of awesomeness, of appreciation, of captivation. He stood in awe and reverence of the one that he was approaching. In the words of the Puritan Matthew Henry, he drew near to God with a holy awe of his majesty and glory. He then moves on, focusing on the mercy and the faithfulness that God has shown in keeping his covenant. So it is evident that Nehemiah knew his God. He was captivated. He was in awe. And it was here where he started his prayer, with praise and adoration for his God. And it's here too where our prayers should start. Praise before petition. Because praise and thanksgiving play a key role in the remainder of the prayer in at least two areas. So firstly, it safeguards us against the danger of irreverence, of becoming too casual within our prayer lives. Now, this reminds us of who it is we are speaking to. And this is most evident in the prayer before us. There's a sense of awe, of respect, and of adoration. And beginning our prayers in this way is also vital, for it will govern and determine the faith and confidence in which we pray with, which are both important ingredients in praying powerfully. Now, our prayers will accomplish nothing if we have no faith. And to possess this, one must know who they are praying to. Hence, spending time declaring the greatness of God increases and refreshes our confidence in whom we are praying to. And the greater God becomes, the smaller the problems will seem. But to pray powerfully, we must know our God. Now, after the praise, Nehemiah moves to penitence. This is seen in the second part of verse 6 and verse 7, which says, "For the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses." Now, this prayer, along with the Lord's Prayer, which says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," spends time dealing with sin. Nehemiah confesses the sins of the nation, which he obviously attributed to being the cause of their current predicament. And he includes himself within this sin. It's very interesting, the personal pronouns that he uses. And he confesses openly, sincerely, and specifically, without any attempt to excuse the transgressions that have been committed. Now, Nehemiah may have known Psalm 66:18, which says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Now, unconfessed sin, apart from not praying at all, is really the greatest hindrance to our prayers. Now, if we refuse to confess but hold on to our sin, our prayers will not be heard. If we have sin in our life that we are aware of and that we fail to deal with, fail to confess, repent, and forsake, but rather cling to it, excuse it, encourage it, make provision for it, then our prayers will not be answered. Now, unconfessed sin will lead to unanswered prayer. And this is why Nehemiah painstakingly dealt with sin, so his prayers may be heard. And this too must be a regular part of our personal prayer life. We must deal with all known sin, for if not, it'll be as if God doesn't pick up the phone when we pray. My friend, we must keep short accounts, be in the habits of regular confession. Of course, the best news is if we confess, we will be forgiven, and the prayer line will no longer be blocked. After the praise and the penitence, Nehemiah then made the petition. And this is seen in verse 11, which says, "O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." It's right at the end of the prayer that Nehemiah finally makes his request known. He asks God to grant him mercy in the sight of the king, who he simply refers to as this man. Now, don't you love that? This is the most powerful man on the earth. And yet when Nehemiah is praying to his God, he's, this man. Now, petitions or requests is the part of prayer that we don't have any trouble with. This comes naturally. We don't have a problem asking for things. And there's nothing wrong with that. Even in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus asked for daily bread and to be not led into temptation. It's a good thing for us to be bold in what we ask from God. The Scriptures give the warning, ye have not because ye ask not. And I wonder what we do miss out on because we fail to ask. But it is instructive that this was not the only component, nor the first component of this most powerful prayer. And that, I believe, is very instructive. Praying is not just asking for things. Praying to God is not just working through a request sheet. It involves all of the previous aspects. So praise, penitence, petition. Three vital components to possess in our prayers. This was the structure. But notice also it was saturated in Scripture. Verses 8, 9 and 10. There's much there that we won't go into. But this is filled with Scripture. Particularly the promises of God. God keeping His covenant. And the truths found within these verses are alluded to in numerous places throughout the law, particularly the book of Deuteronomy. There's chapter 4, verses 25 through to 31, chapter 28, verses 36 through to 58, and chapter 28, verses 63 to 67. It's more than evident that Nehemiah knew the Scriptures, and they shaped and molded his prayers. And even more specifically, he possessed a profound understanding and belief in what God had promised within His Word. And this governed how he prayed and what it was he asked for. And we too, like Nehemiah, are to allow the Word to guide and to influence our prayers. And to base our prayers around the promises of God. And if we do this, it will be a great benefit, for our prayers will most definitely be answered, for we know that we are definitely praying in accordance to God's will, because we're praying according to the book. But what does it look like practically for you and me to pray scripturally saturated prayers? Well, the Bible tells us about many things that we can pray for. Such as God's name to be glorified, souls to be saved, boldness to proclaim the gospel, our government, our pastors, one another, wisdom, and so forth. So the Scriptures teach us much about the content of our prayers. It also has much to say about our attitudes and the motives behind our prayers, and also the structure which we considered beforehand. And many promises are given, to give us confidence as we pray, and we can bring these promises before God as we pray. If we want to pray powerfully and effectively, then we would do well to saturate our prayers in Scripture and pray according to it. And the final attribute of Nehemiah's praying is his persistence. But not all of our prayers will be answered instantly. And this is often hard, for we live in a time where we know what we want and we want it right now. But that's not how praying works. The prayers are always answered in God's time. And this is what happens before us. In verse 1 of chapter 1, we're given the date of Chislu in the 20th year of the reign of the king. And in the first verse of chapter 2, we're given the date of Nisan in the 20th year of the reign of the king. So we have a 4 to 5 month gap between when Nehemiah hears the problem and when he comes before the king. And I would suggest from the evidence of verse 6, that mentions there was praying day and night, that this period of time, Nehemiah and his brethren, notice in verse 11 it speaks of servant Nehemiah and servants, fellow brethren, brought this particular situation before the Lord continually. They persevered earnestly in prayer, in accordance to James 5:17. They didn't just give up or throw in the towel after asking once. And eventually, in God's timing, the prayer was answered. But what is interesting is that there was more time spent in prayer than there was in actually rebuilding the walls. It only took 52 days to rebuild the walls and yet 4 to 5 months in prayer. J.I. Packer commented insightfully on this text. He said, "The story reminds us that even when God's people are praying just the right prayer about the concerns that God himself has laid on their hearts, he still may keep them waiting, because the time he appoints for prayer answering action is often not as soon as we hoped. So persistence in prayer, proving our seriousness of purpose as we keep our requests before the throne day after day, becomes a vital lesson that all God's people in every age need to learn." And it's not always easy. God often makes us wait. This is often, to test or for our faith to grow or for some other reason. But we must not stop praying just because it isn't answered instantly. Remember Elijah, 3.5 years he prayed until it rained. So my friend, we need to continue in prayer. God will answer in his time, but in the meantime, we are to earnestly persevere. My friend, prayer is a wonderful treasure. It's a glorious thing that we can commune with God. May the blessing and the privilege of prayer be renewed in our hearts this evening. How wonderful it actually is. May the fact that God pays attention to each of our prayers, that in itself is amazing. And may this renew our enthusiasm to be men and women who pray powerfully and effectively. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." This prayer before us is recorded for our learning and for our benefit. What a tremendous difference it would make in Christendom. What a difference it would make in Lismore Bible Church if there were more believers who prayed like Nehemiah. Amen.